This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Taylor Swift may have been and gone with her recent Australian tour. However, like the wake from a speedboat, the ripples are still having an impact, particularly when it comes to retail sales. Now, I'm sure we're all immediately thinking that sales are booming in the aftermath of her concerts, but not necessarily so. Dr. Jason Palant is a consumer behaviour expert from RMIT University. Good afternoon, Jason.
G'day, Warren. Great to be back.
What impact did Taylor Swift have on retail sales, firstly, while she was performing in Melbourne and Sydney?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, right? We've now got the figures for retail sales for March, which is the month after her concerts, right? And of course, they then compare to the previous month. So we're looking at now what's happened after she's left and the impact that she had, right? And what we've seen is a pretty drastic fall in retail sales and some of the worst actual results since COVID. And when you dive into it even more deeply, New South Wales and Victoria were the two states that got hit the hardest, and the sector that was hit was clothing. So you put these kind of facts together and you go, the Taylor Swift effect of places with her concerts have now lost all of that extra income that they had from all of the Swifties converging and buying all the merchandise. Isn't that fascinating?
Absolutely. Jason, when I think about it, the build-up to Taylor Swift performing here in Melbourne in particular, you know, we were told it was going to be so good for the economy, all this money comes in. And does it? I mean, I suppose hotels benefit, etc. But if we just take the retail sector out of the pie, if we look overall, is there a benefit of having someone as huge as Taylor Swift coming into the city?
Yeah, so one of my colleagues, Angel Zong, she's a finance professor at RMIT. She estimated the overall economic impact, the benefit was over $500 million, right? So overall, absolutely, having Taylor Swift come in generates all sorts of income. You've got travel, you've got tourism, you've got people eating out at restaurants, you've got people buying merchandise, etc. What we're seeing now is kind of the cost of that after she leaves, because people have saved up, they've traveled, they've booked their hotels, they've done the concert, they've bought their merchandise, and then she's gone and the retailers are still here, the cafes are still here, the hotels are still here, and everybody's kind of spent their money on the concert.
If we took, I suppose, the Taylor Swift, let's call it the Taylor Swift bump in retail spending out of the equation, would it pretty much be the same as other years?
No, it's actually kind of down. And I think this is the challenge that retailers are facing. We've got cost of living pressures. We've got high inflation. We talked recently on a previous segment about, you know, some retailers going into administration. So it's actually been a really tough time. So having the Taylor Swift effect has been great for retailers, but it's not enough to kind of sustain us long term. We can't rely on more Taylor Swifts coming out and visiting because, I mean, she's one of one.
Exactly. What else is causing the retail downturn apart from cost of living pressures?
It's a lot of cost of living pressures. It's some hangover from COVID. It's, you know, going back to work a bit. It's some changes in our shopping pressures. There's a lot of things happening to retailers. Consumer confidence is a bit down. Interest rates are up. And that's a pretty tough time for retailers trying to convince consumers to spend.
What's the outlook then, Jason, in terms of, I suppose, long-term for retailers? What can we expect? Do you think we'll see more retailers hit the wall because of this downturn?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we probably will. I hope I'm wrong with that, obviously, right? We don't want to lose any more of our domestic retailers. But you look around and you just see, because at the same time as we are feeling cost of living pressures, retailers are also feeling the cost of production pressures, right? So it's more expensive for them to make products. It's harder for us to pay for them. And they're in a really tough spot of, do you raise prices to cover your costs when we're already pretty price conscious? Do you wear that as a cost and reduce your profit margin when they're already very slim in retail. So it's not a great look for Australian retailers, particularly when we look at also some rise of some really big internationals like Temu and Shein, who are selling ultra cheap products and, you know, unfortunately becoming quite popular.
And also, I believe, taking our data at the same time.
And that's right. You know, there's all of these kind of other costs as well when we start shopping from some of those major multinational retailers that don't always abide by the same kind of security and regulations that we have here in Australia.
Jason, I want to get back to Taylor Swift in a second, but I did. I was walking down Bridge Road in Richmond on the weekend, and also if you look at other comparable shopping strips, there are so many empty shops at the moment. I know that these particular areas have been like it for a long time. Is the high street doomed?
I don't think the high street is doomed. I think it absolutely has to evolve. What we're seeing is a little bit of a hangover from retail rental prices and getting a lease for a shop being so high when we had so much foot traffic, we had so many tourists coming, and the appeal of being on a high street was really high, so they could charge really high rents. What we're seeing now is, you know, lower footfall, people working from home, less tourists, more people shopping online. So I think we need to adjust and re-evolve some of those agreements so that it's not so expensive for retailers to actually have a shop, because it's very hard to justify some of the expenses of those shops when they're not seeing the same amount of foot traffic as they used to.
We're chatting with Dr. Jason Palant, consumer behaviour expert from RMIT University, about the Taylor Swift effect on retail. And I mean, Jason, let's face it. I mean, I buy T-shirts, but I have to go in somewhere and try them on first before I can even think about ordering them online, because I just hate the hassle of having to take them back to the post office and paying for postage and all that. I find it easier. You go into a shop, you try it on, fits, yep, you know it. You at least get your size before you go in and start doing online. Do you think people are doing that? They're spending a little bit in the retail sector, the bricks and mortar, and then spending a certain proportion of it online?
Yeah, and that is what's happening. And I think particularly for us in Melbourne and other states that had really harsh lockdowns, we've actually seen people kind of gravitate back to stores. We lost the ability to just walk in and try on a T-shirt. And so that actually is the most convenient way to buy a lot of stuff, right? Ordering it and waiting for it is not great. So high streets and stores and all of those things, absolutely not dead. We're just seeing them evolve to try and become a bit more cost effective for retailers and a bit more experiential and enjoyable for consumers.
Let's talk about the Taylor Swift merchandise. Were local retailers selling that, or was it Taylor Swift's business?
Yeah, I think everybody tries to get on board with all of these kind of events, right? We saw a similar thing with the Matildas and the World Cup. Once you've got these big kind of cultural events, everybody tries to jump on it, right? So there's all of there's the official licensed stuff.
Yep.
And then there's all of the stuff that is related to, but may not be kind of all the sanctioned stuff, right? And so everybody is trying to get a piece of that pie, because we know that people were spending a lot. It was very exciting for a lot of different retailers.
Why are we into merchandise so much? What is it about it?
Well, there's just this kind of feeling of connection and belonging. And I think this is something that, again, we really missed out during a lot of the pandemic and lockdowns. And we first, you know, we kind of really saw it with the Matildas, that feeling of being part of something bigger than yourself, being part of a fan group, having other people cheering on the same thing as you, you're in the in crowd. These are all things that are really psychologically appealing to us as humans, right? And so we see the same thing with Taylor Swift, right? Being a Swiftie, knowing all the words, knowing what she's going to do with the 22 hat, knowing the dancers, is being part of that in crowd. And merchandise is a way of then signaling to others that you are part of that crowd, you're part of that same tribe, and find those other people who have that shared interest with you.
Do the retailers, like, let's say, you know, the David Jones, the Myers, the big department stores, or any of the brands really, do they try and create that belonging in part of their marketing so that we just go back to them? Or is it more, oh, you know what, I like this particular retailer because it's quality?
Yeah, and that's right. There's a lot of that sense of belonging. That's a lot of what brands really do, whether that's the retailer or whether that's the manufacturer, whatever the brand logo might be. A lot of the idea behind kind of branding and buy one thing over another is to really get that sense of belonging, or even in some cases, that sense of social status by being, you know, wearing a brand or wearing a thing that is hard to get or others don't.
Jason,
absolutely. There's a lot on that.
Question without notice. What was your first merchandise that you ever had? Do you remember? I'll tell you mine.
My first... Yeah, are you going to tell me yours is branded Crocs? Because that's something we've talked about in the past, isn't it?
Mine were ABBA socks.
ABBA socks.
That yeah. shut you up, didn't it?
That's very good. I reckon mine, if I think back, was probably Pokemon related. That was around my time as a kid. Coming up, and the best thing is our five-year-old son is now right into Pokemon, and so it's been full circle for me, diving right back into it.
What a cool dad. Great to chat with you, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Jason Pallant, consumer behavior expert from RMIT University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.